This morning, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 20, and we're going to spend about 3 weeks on this section. It is the parable of the sower. Jesus said, if you understand this parable, you will understand all parables. And it gives us the insight and understanding. I can remember when I first received Christ, the pastor of the church that I was in said that he was told when he graduated from Bible school, whatever you do, don't teach on the parables for at least 30 years until you gain understanding. He thought to himself, I've been to Bible school, I've studied this, I don't see what the problem is. Well, 30 years later, after he first taught the parables, he had to get up in front of his church, his people, and say everything that I've taught about the parables in the beginning was wrong. And the advice the man gave me was true. Everybody has their opinions and their interpretations and applications as to what the parables of Jesus mean. Well, the Lord says if you understand the parable of the sower, you can understand all parables. And this is one of the most important, if not the most important, parable and teaching of Jesus as far as understanding the working of God's Spirit in His Word. We read in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and again he began to teach alongside of the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing toward the sea. Then he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was saying to them in his teaching, listen. Now the word listen means hear. That's the key to it right there. That's the one word. That's what this parable is all about. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. He's not talking about a seamstress. He's talking about sowing seed. A farmer went out to sow seed. He scattered seed and planted seed. He was called a sower. So the sower went out to sow his seed. And it came to pass that as he was sowing, that some fell along the roadside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground. Now, this is not stones mixed with earth. According to the original text, the Greek text, it is actually a rock bed. It's actually a solid slab of rock as a foundation with a small, thin layer of dirt on top of it. The stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up on account that it did not have depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, that's 30 times more than the original seed, some 60, and some 100 times more than the original seed. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember what the first word was? Listen. The end of the parable was, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is actually the parable of hearing, not the parable of the sower. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. See, now that's all Jesus did was spoke. He just spoke the parable. No explanation. But then when he was alone, his disciples and those and the 12 came to him and asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, that is outside of Christ, all things come in parables. So that, he's quoting Isaiah 6:9, that in seeing they may see and not perceive, and in hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. So the seed is the word. We have three elements that we're going to work with. The sower, the seed, and the soil. The word, the seed, is the word of God. Verse 15, and these are the ones along the roadside where the word is sown. Now he's making application to the parable. That when they hear, notice that, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Literally in the Greek text, they are short-lived. You know of people who are short-lived? They get excited about the things of the Lord, and when the emotions wear off and the hard times come, they're short-lived. You don't see them anymore. They are short-lived, and afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown amongst the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These are people who are hearing the word. They are in the process of continually hearing the word. And they are also in the process, after they hear the word, go out into the world and are caught up in three different areas. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things other than Christ. And it chokes out the effectiveness of the word. They never grow, never change. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word. They receive it, and they produce fruit, some 30-fold, that's 30 times more, some 60, and some 100. So he goes on to talk about other parables. With this parable, you can understand all other parables. Now, there's three things, as I said to you, that we're going to talk about in these 3 weeks. We're going to cover the areas of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Of course, the main emphasis of the parable is the soil itself. There are four different ways to hear the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the Word of God. God sends it out, it will not return void, Isaiah 55:11 says. It will not return void, it will accomplish the purposes for which God has sent it. And yet, it's this area that we just don't understand. We know it's in Scripture. It's just something that God has done in every human being. The Word of God is very powerful and effective, and it is the Word of God. Yet, He leaves it up to the free will process of man. Whatever condition a person's heart is, they will receive and respond to the word according to their heart. God does not violate a person's free will. He's just worked that into creation and into life itself. One person can reject the word of God, and another person hearing the same word can be saved. The word of God is the same, but man's hearts, the heart of man is not the same. And it's kind of interesting that you can kind of see where you're at in these four responses to God's Word, but it's kind of interesting that if you have a group of 24 people or so, you know that six of them, that probably 25% of the group is receiving the Word into the heart to the point that they're changed and transformed. The whole life is changed to the point that they're the Word of God. They don't bear fruit. The Word of God bears fruit. The seed is planted, that seed changes and transforms that person's life, and as it's cultivated and grows, it bears fruit. Some 30, 60, sometimes 100 times more than the original seed, the original truth, the original change that took place in a person's life. That's how God works. We're also going to cover three areas in the sense of the parable, verses 1 through 9, the parable itself. Verses 10 through 12, the purpose for parables. There's actually twofold purpose. And lastly, the perception of the parable, or the understanding, verses 13 through 20. Next week, we're going to take 13 through 20, and each of the next 2 weeks, we're going to take two of these areas of the types of soil and how a person receives the Word of God into their heart or according to their heart's condition. But this morning it is important to understand the parable itself. This parable, if you've ever driven down any of these back roads, and you have to if you're coming out here to the church, perfect example, if you can imagine someone sowing seed or scattering seed, and some of the seed falling alongside of the road. That would be the part of the road where cars would pull over. It's all hard-packed and packed down. And if a seed were to fall on that hard-packed ground, it would just sit on the surface. Well, Jesus said the birds of the air come down and just pick the seed. Have you ever planted a lawn and didn't do it right? I can remember when I planted my first lawn. People hired me to plant a lawn. So you're supposed to put the seed down, then you're supposed to put the topsoil on top of it, because as you water, the topsoil or mulch pushes the seed down into the ground. Well, I did it just the opposite. I laid topsoil, rolled it out on a big roller. It all looked black, all the manure smelled and stunk. And then I laid the seed. All the seed was sitting on top of the manure. And people came out and said, isn't that seed supposed to be under the... I forgot. I'll water it and mix it in. And I was there for a day and a half. It was a half a day's job. I was there for 2 days just trying to get the manure on top. But all the seed that sat on top, birds were coming down just picking those seeds out. If you don't cover those seeds, birds will come down. As soon as you're finished and go in the house, even if you're watering, you get a flock of birds coming down just picking those seeds right up. Jesus said that's what happens alongside of the road in the hard pack. Dirt, where the seed cannot penetrate. The birds come in the air and take it. Then as you can imagine, as you're driving out, all of a sudden you see a rocky ground, soil, where you've got some of the hard pack underneath and you've got a little layer of dirt on top. You ever seen that in the street? You can have just a little bit of dirt in the gutter of the street and you'll see grass growing up. Doesn't have much root because it doesn't last very long. But man, there's grass growing in a little tiny patch of dirt. Barely visible. You can just take it with your hand and just peel it up. It's so thin. And Jesus said that's another kind of heart. So you have to be aware of the outward expressions and excitement. And the more you see, the probably less depth there is. Jesus is making the emphasis on depth, and we're going to cover that next week, of how important it is to have depth in Christ. It's not what's out, the outward appearance or the show or even the emotions. That's not what gets you through the trials and tribulations. Jesus said when the trials and tribulations come, they're offended and they leave. But then there's another kind in amongst the thorns. You ever notice that right at the fence line on the properties? Either on this side and even on the other side, right in front of the cultivated fields. Here's all these weeds growing up. Sometimes they cut them down, sometimes they spray them. A lot of times they're just left there. Jesus said there's seed that falls in amongst the thorns. You can just see it from the street on. You can see all these different areas of soil, and they have different. There are different kinds of content, either the rocky soil or hard-packed soil, or it's good soil but it's got weeds growing in it. Then you look out and you see the beautiful cultivated fields. Those farmers, I tell you, you don't touch a farmer's straight line. They cut those straight lines in the fields. You ever see them out here when they take all the efforts to level that ground, you know, and cut those straight lines just perfectly? So and see the fertilizing that goes on with helicopters and trucks and tractors and all kinds of things to fertilize that soil and make sure that soil is ripe to receive the seed, so the crop when it grows. Why plant a seed? It's so that that seed will produce a crop, fruit. And so the parable that Jesus spoke, and by the way, Jesus began to speak in parables. We saw that in the last chapter when there was a growing opposition to his ministry. He began to speak in parables. The word parable means to cast alongside of. That's what the word means, literally. And it means to take a spiritual truth and incorporate that spiritual truth into a story that everybody's very familiar with. Not everything in a parable has to do with spiritual truth. Spiritual truth is contained in the parable. You have to understand that. So Jesus spoke this parable and he said, verse 3, listen. He said in verse 9, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what the parable is all about. Listen and hear what's being said. Now, people can physically and audibly hear. That's not what he's talking about. Sometimes people listen, but they don't hear. That brings us to the purpose for parables in verses 10 through 12. There's a twofold purpose for parables. It draws out those who belong to Christ that have a heart to hear and receive God's word. Secondly, it turns people away who do not have a heart to hear what God's word has to say. So first of all, they came to him and they said, what is this parable all about? Jesus said, it to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. In other words, and here's the thing that I'm impressed with about the Lord's ministry. He presented the truth in story form. Now, if you have a heart for the Lord, you're going to seek Him out and find out what that means. So the Lord told a story and left. Those who had a heart to find out what spiritual truth was contained in this story and what it meant, they went after Him alone with Jesus. And Jesus said it's a mystery. The things of the Lord are a mystery. The natural man, in his natural way of thinking, cannot understand spiritual things. Intellectual things, yes. You can study the intellectually the things about the Bible and spiritually not understand. So Jesus said, I spoke in parables so that everybody outside of Christ will not understand. That seems kind of funny in our day when we're so desperate to try to reach people. Jesus made it difficult. Jesus told people who opposed Him in the Gospel of John, He said, don't press. You know, they were opposing Him. And He says, don't worry about it. Those who are not drawn by My Father can't come to Me. So, if you are in opposition to Christ and the Father's not drawing you, Jesus didn't argue with Him. This is not a religious argument. It's not a philosophical debate. You can't come except the Father draw you. The Lord was not under any pressure whatsoever. He said in John chapter 10 that His sheep hear His voice, and they will not listen to the voice of the stranger. So Jesus just went out and just spoke in parables. Those sheep that were His and those sheep that heard their shepherd's voice said, I got to go find out what's going on. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus says, but to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, not to anybody else. So when Jesus spoke in parables, it was to draw out those who had a heart for Him. And that was manifested by the fact that they came to seek Him. But there's another group. He spoke in parables so that Isaiah 6:9 might be fulfilled. Notice this. That in seeing they may not, seeing they may see and not perceive. And in hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Do you realize that Jesus spoke spiritual truths in a hidden way, in a hidden presentation, so that people would not turn and be forgiven? They would see and they would listen, but they would not perceive. They would not understand because they didn't have a heart for Him. Isn't that interesting that Jesus put it out there and His teachings were in such a way so that people would not understand? And we're so anxious, even striving, to get people to believe and to get people to understand. And Jesus just put the truth out there in story form and just withdrew and waited for those who had a heart for the Lord to be drawn to Him so that He personally could reveal the truths of the kingdom of God to them. It is not for everybody. It is not for everybody. And then notice the perception of this parable. He said in verse 12, seeing that they may see and not perceive. And so in the interpretation of the parable in verses 13 through 20 is the perception and understanding of the teaching of Jesus in the parable of the sower. As I pointed out to you in verse 13 about understanding all parables, if you understand this one, The sower, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Though in Mark's gospel it does not identify Jesus Christ as the sower, in Matthew chapter 13 it identifies the Son of Man as the one who sows the seed. You and I do not sow the seed. Jesus Christ sows the seed in people's hearts. He is the sower. True, He uses us as His vessels, but He is the sower of the seed. He is the Word of God. Secondly, we know from the seed that He sows the Word. The seed is the Word of God. The sower is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The seed is the Word of God. Now what about the soil? As I pointed out to you as we read, look at verse 15. And these are the ones alongside the road where the word is sown when they hear. Verse 16. Likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown amongst the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. And verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word. What happens when they do? So, we have four kinds of soil, which represent four conditions of people's hearts. And the response of the condition of the ground has to do with hearing. Not listening, but hearing. James, in James chapter 1, says that be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So he's what Jesus is saying is very important how you hear the word of God. So we say, well, you know, we go to church, we go to Bible study, we have maybe daily devotions, we listen to somebody on the radio or we watch someone on television, and we say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I listened and I participated, and that's it. The Bible says, no, that's not it. It's not it at all. There has to be a response. All of these are responses to the Word. Conditions of people's hearts and how they respond to the same Word of God. The same Word of God that can produce 30, 60, 100 times more in fruit out of the heart of a person's life is the same seed that sits on stony ground. It's no difference, just as powerful. But God has left it up to man's free will process to respond according to the condition of our hearts. He never violates that. He never forces people to believe. He never forces people to follow. In fact, I'm impressed with the fact that Jesus just puts it out there in parable form and then leaves. It's like, hey, what was that all about? What do you mean by that? Oh, well, you know. And people go off. We're out there trying to beat people over the head to get them to believe. But Jesus withdrew, and people withdrew with Him, and people were drawn to Him because He is the sower. And His Word is the Word of God. And if we want to know what Jesus means, if we want to do like Peter says, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to come to Him. Not to people, but to Him. And God has chosen that His Word should be presented amongst the believers. It's kind of one of those traps, you know. When Jesus calls us and says, I've called you to be My disciple, and I'm going to save you, and you're going to follow Me, but the only way that I'm going to minister to you and minister my Word to you is in amongst My people as you fellowship together. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No wonder Satan tries so hard to keep us away from hearing God's Word. And I also want to make emphasis to you, though I am all in favor of it, I promote reading, but it doesn't say in the Bible that faith comes by reading your Bible individually and devotionally. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Though we can have a devotional ministry and God minister to our hearts as we fellowship with Him privately in His Word, as He does to me many times, it is God's chosen way that He should minister His Word through hearing of His Word when God's people gather together, when His Word is proclaimed, when His Word is taught, when His Word is discussed amongst the brethren. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why Satan tries so hard and throws so many obstacles in our way to keep us away from hearing His Word. Is because God, that's God's chosen way, that when we hear, God's Spirit works in our hearts and begins to make changes under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes little changes that we can't notice until maybe we're a year down the road and we look back and say, boy, the Lord's really made some changes in my life. Sometimes they're unnoticeable. Because the changes are spiritual and they're in the inner man, not the outer man. And so Satan tries so hard to keep us away from the hearing of the Word. That's why we spend so much time in the Word of God. We're not involved in Bible studies as duties that we're to do as Christians. We know that the more we're in God's Word, the more God's Spirit is going to minister to us, and the more we're going to be changed. It is a transformation process that takes place when we hear the Word of God. God's Spirit is the one that makes the changes. It isn't somebody's systematic theology or even someone's Bible studies. God takes that Word and transforms people's lives. People are saved. Same way people are saved when they hear the truth of God's Word, they're transformed and changed by the hearing of the same Word. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God's grace touches our hearts through the knowledge of who Jesus is and the truth of His Word, there is a miracle that takes place in people's hearts. They're changed. I can't explain it. And it's beyond me. It's beyond a human personality. It's beyond a human voice. It's beyond human weaknesses. It's beyond human failures, either in giving the Word or receiving the Word. God just performs a miracle in our midst. Whenever we gather together in the name of Christ and spend time in His Word, God is making changes. He's transforming our lives. And it's totally beyond us. It has nothing to do with us. He basically tells us, or tells me, just show up. And you know as well as I do, that's about 99% of the effort. It is very difficult. Satan makes it very difficult to go hear the Word of God. And many things come in the way. All God wants us to do is just show up. I'll take care of the rest. And so we go and we pray and submit ourselves to Christ and His Spirit, and He touches our hearts. And if He touches our hearts with anything today, the Lord's Word and the truths of the Lord are a mystery. And only those who are drawn by God's Spirit and those who have a heart to go find out what the truth of Christ is, those are the ones to whom He reveals the mysteries to. To everybody else, it's just stories. Well, what's your opinion? Somebody on the radio the other day called them SYI studies. Share your ignorance. Let's get together and find out what our ignorance thinks this means, you know. And yet, in a lot of instances, it's very plain and very exact, and yet there are various opinions as to what it means. And coming together, if there's anything we learned this morning, is that God wants us not just to listen, but to hear and to respond. As James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, he's saying you're deceived if you think that you just go and listen and do your duty and then you're on your way. This is the Word of God. God's chosen way to spiritually change and transform lives. That's what it's all about. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that He planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And He warned the Christians in Corinth, take heed how you're building. First of all, there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. So Paul's warning was to Christians, take heed how you're building upon this foundation and upon this relationship. For some are building with wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn. Others are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. We are to take heed how we hear and how we build. Because as he tells us in that chapter, one day we're all going to stand before you. We're all going to pass through the fire, not the fire of hell, but the fire of judgment. That which is not of Christ will be burned. And that which remains after the test of fire is that who we will be throughout eternity and what we will have. He says that'll be our reward. After receiving Christ, it's the greatest attack upon our lives. It's how we hear and how we build. Sometimes we chase false doctrines and false experiences, and we're looking for emotional experiences or something for our own personal benefit in a selfish way in the flesh. It has no spiritual value to it. But yet there's a condition in hearing. When we listen, are we hearing? Is God's Word being implanted within our hearts? Are we listening so that the soil of our heart is being cultivated and broken up so that that seed can grow and bear fruit? After all, that is the purpose for which you have chosen us. Lord, help us to see that you want our hearts. Not just time, not just money, not just dedication, but you want our hearts. You want our hearts to respond to you in submission and in obedience, even calling out to you to make those changes in us, confessing we are unable to. Even calling out for you to run the plow, break up that fallow ground, break up that hardness of our hearts as we grow insensitive to you and to your word. Lord, bring in your tractor. Start plowing. We know it's going to hurt. But help us to see the most important thing in life is you want our hearts. And the most important thing to us and in our life is our heart's response to you, to your word. Help us to understand these things. Help us to realize and perceive and receive these things. As we prepare now to move on in the Scriptures, to understand the various kinds of soil that we can, how would you say, make a soil test in us. To find out where we are and how we're hearing the Word. And also to be aware of the various dangers that come, that can blow into the field where you're plowing. That could grow in amongst the Word and choke out its effectiveness and influence over our lives. Lord, teach us to take heed of these things, to realize the importance of our relationship with you in our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.